Hey, gang, don't forget our special WHM programming announcement that we first announced last week, but we want to keep reminding you of it until this thing actually happens.
It's really important.
It's super important.
And it's Q.
It is Q. December 9th, Tuesday, December 9th, we are dropping an episode on something, as of this recording date, we still have not seen, and that is Jingle All the Way 2, starring Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry!
Hey! Diarrhea!
Chicken!
So we were doing the last plug, the 50-50s on like what might appear in this episode.
Oh, right.
So Eric, you didn't get to do one. So what are you wagering will probably be in the movie Jingle All the Way 2?
I don't know. Him condescending to some random retail worker, probably. Right? Like what do you mean you don't got that?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this one in there. I didn't say it came to me as I was leaving last time, actually. It's replacing a turkey that he's lost.
Yes.
I think that's probably
I would
in there.
Say there's a 50-50 shot. He makes a pit stop at a mall food court.
Yeah, at least one. I mean, maybe, oh, you know what he could be doing is he might be like taking the sample trays over as his meal.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thanks very much, Chinese lady. And he like goes over with all the little sesame chicken samples and just.
And he's like taste testing because he doesn't know which one is which. He's like, yeah. Oh, that's sesame chicken. Oh, that's Gerald Tao chicken.
Also, him commenting on something being made in the USA or not.
Oh, yeah, that's probably.
It's probably in there, I would think.
Oh, there's so many possibilities that can happen. Here's the thing. I assume, right, because it's Jingle All the Way 2, and like it's clearly creatively bankrupt, so it's just going to be him telling his idiot kid that he's going to get a toy, and then, you know, it's the plot of Jingle All the Way. I don't know what it's actually about.
Do you think there's an actual Santa Claus that shows up at some point?
Oh, yeah, actual Santa Claus versus Jim Belushi pretending to be a Santa Claus. What's the over-under on Jim Belushi cameo? Because listen, folks at home, I have stayed away from the IMDb listing. Yeah, I don't know anything. I don't want to know any of the secrets. I don't want to ruin this.
I would say it's 30 to 40% possible.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that highly possible.
Yeah, I wanted to be in it, but I had to do the voice acting on that Dorothy's Return to Oz movie last year.
I'm more expecting Sinbad, frankly. And I'm going to be more disappointed if he's not there.
I'm going to be really let down if Sinbad's not in some way in this movie. Well, here's the thing, though. Would Sinbad still be working for the post office all these years later? Because this is
maybe he shows
19
up at the
years
end
later
as the postmaster general and be like, look, Larry, look what got lost in the mail. It's that Turbo Man 9000.
Oh, man, if it's still going on about a Turbo Man, probably not.
Well, I mean, this really is. I mean, we're playing the imitation game here. Yeah. There's so many variations that we can't really put into our brain.
We need Benedict Cumberbatch to build us a giant machine to figure out what's going to be in Jingle All the Way 2.
Just because we don't want to look on the fucking website.
But until then, December 9th, mark your calendars. When you wake up Tuesday morning, Christmas is coming early. We, all four of us, will be on the episode Jingle All the Way 2, December 9th. Get ready. Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
And we hate movies. Everyone, welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning in, as always. If you are new to We Hate Movies, you're catching us in the last week of what has been another very successful listener request month. So first and foremost, thank you again to everyone. I know we've been doing this all month for all the calls. You've either had a call make it to air, which is four of you out of literally hundreds. But you know what? Don't sweat it. You've inspired us. We can tell by the volume of some of the requests, you know. Let's say 2015, probably going to do the Mothman prophecies.
And I was going to say that, you know, it is good that, you know, we get all these calls in because they do become episodes down the road.
Right, yeah.
But I also, another half of me is like, well, what about the guy like that we just ignore the movie? Like every year, every time he's calling in and he's like, man, you got to do, I don't know, fucking, you know, Eraserhead.
Well, listen, we've said it before. We're not doing Eraserhead. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
That only happened one time. It was one person that called in. It was like 2 years ago that was like, you know what you should really take to task? Eraserhead.
Okay, I guess more like Fantastic Four 2.
Well, what's going to happen with that is eventually we're going to ignore another call down the line by this guy.
Steve's going to be shot dead in the street.
Yeah, it's definitely ending in a grisly murder.
Hey, say that!
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, totally unrehearsed. We just did that. Oh, my God.
That was beautiful.
It's nice to know we have similar visions of what would transpire if Steve was assassinated in the street.
Yeah, he would definitely pull one of those. He would definitely pull that Lee Harvey Oswald face, and he's like kind of throwing up his hands, but like slightly, like, I'm going to bat away the bullet.
Yeah, I want to defend my life, but not that much.
Yeah, exactly. He knew, you know, deep down, he knew he had it coming.
It's coming anyway. Here we go.
Yeah, oh, it's here. Well, I think he would appreciate it not being drawn out, because we all know that Steve Sadek would kill himself in a horror film.
So. Exactly. Sure. He would get right to it. He would cut to the chase.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's before a big, long trial where he's probably going to jail. He's probably like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And thank you to all the people who have called once again. So this final call was a fellow named JC in Seattle who had this to say.
Hey, guys. My name is JC. I'm from Seattle, and I've just been busting to request the movie Buried Alive. It's a 1990 made-for-TV thriller, and it's like We Hate Movies wished it into existence. It's got dog acting. It's got house hiding. It stars Jennifer Jason Leigh from Fast Times, William Atherton from Ghostbusters, and Tim fucking Matheson. It starts a little crazy, but by the end, it's just bonkers. Check your email for tips on where to find it, and please have a good time with Buried Alive. Thanks, guys.
So we thought we'd take a look at this, and great Googa Mooga, this movie, Buried Alive from 1990, directed by The Walking Dead's Frank Darabont.
This got him the Shawshank Redemption. Like, that's after this, he does one, like, video, like, thing. Like, I think it's a short or something, and then he's directly into the Shawshank.
Well, you know, this movie isn't outright terrible. It's kind of, like, pulpy and noir-y. Yeah. And,
it feels,
you know,
like a EC Comics story.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
This could be like a Tales of the Crypt type
of
thing.
Yeah, it most definitely feels like the Crypt Keeper could be introducing this movie. You all loved him in Animal House. Now watch him manipulate his own house. This also is like partially like Hider in the House too, by the way.
Yeah, a little bit.
We'll get to it in the second half, yes.
Yeah. So yes, this movie is Tim Matheson and Jennifer Jason Leigh. As JC explained, they are an unhappily married couple, to say the very least.
Well, you would think that, except for Tim Matheson is walking on clouds this whole the first half of this movie, at least.
It's so annoying. It's that kind of annoying that we were kind of talking about last week with Lloyd Braun. He's this kind of like, nothing can hurt this guy. Everything's bouncing off him. Steve said, like, water off a duck's back. That's what it's like. Like, she could go up to him and be like, hey, Tim Matheson, I hate your dirty construction worker guts. And he'd be like, well, you know what? We'll talk about that after dinner.
Well, it's like he dragged her back to his hometown in rural wherever.
Yeah, it's all unspecified, except they were New York-based, right? Because he says something about, like, I didn't like leaving you. I thought it was, I didn't like leaving you in New York to drive 2,000 miles back here. I thought it was New York.
Well, I don't
remember city living. That's the difference between, well, we were in the city and now we're in.
Right. They really try to drive home like this is like this quaint country town, but there's always these shots with palm trees in the background. So I'm like, wait. So I just imagine this is the Florida panhandle.
And I mean, there's, and their house, and I mean, my God, their house. Like, it's on a big hill.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
They got some property.
No neighbors.
Nope. That's, you know what? That's what you call Andrew Jupin's dream house. Highlight the no neighbors part.
You could do any manner of crimes.
Any manner. It'd be a real house of horrors. Nobody would hear you.
This actually reminded me a little bit of Gone Girl, to talk about a recent film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because
I
it's like,
that, yeah.
You're totally right.
It's like you bring the girl to the country and trouble happens.
So, yeah, so Jennifer Jason Leigh is kind of just like a stay-at-home lady. They don't have kids. They're trying to have kids. Very important.
Very. Mm-hmm. You should mark that down. But also, she has some kind of... Oh, no, because I thought she's not going away on business. She's going to meet her girlfriend at the beginning of this, right?
Right.
She says she's quote unquote.
Yes, she's going on like a shopping trip or something like that.
By the way, this movie opens with some of the greatest, and I underline greatest, twang guitar.
Oh,
like,
man.
Ever.
Let's hear a little bit of this. Because that's the greatest shitty music ever.
Oh my God, I love it.
It's like the end of the Law and Order theme where it's just the guitar like bow, bow, bow.
It's like whatever like studio musician recorded that Law and Order theme song, like the rest of the band finished playing and then Daryl just took it a couple bars further. Yep. That's what this is. And you know, when I hear this kind of music like scoring a film, it just says to me like, well, we had no other ideas.
Yep.
Like twangy guitar. Like, what is twangy guitar doing in this like domestic thriller horror movie?
I think it's just setting, it's setting this tone that it's like, you're in the country now, yeah, boy.
But like palm tree country, like you said, it's so weird. I have no idea where this movie
takes
place.
Maybe it's, you're in Republican California now, boy.
That might be.
That's a possibility.
It's the OC.
I mean, well, the thing is that I feel like it's... You bring that out, you bring that sound. I usually am thinking like either it's a really like erotic, you know, I'm cheating on the wife kind of deal.
Like a Zondali type movie.
Yeah, that twang does it for me as well, Kevin.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then like, but this, and also it could be like a grizzled, like, oh man, get ready, this is the fucking dirt of...
Right, you're like working in a mine.
Yeah.
Like that's right. What this is.
Hard scraping, you know, justified kind of shit.
Again, though, not a domestic horror movie. Like that's, it's just... it's out of place. One of my favorite parts of this movie happens early on, and it's when the sheriff of this town pulls over Tim Matheson to essentially ask him out on a date.
Yep.
Which is the absolute best thing ever. So, like, Tim Matheson is like, oh, I'll drive home and meet my wife, and, you know, we'll have lunch together or something like that. And, you know, she's like, oh, great, you're coming home. Well, kill me.
God damn it. Why are you coming here?
And he gets pulled over and the sheriff's like, you know, and, you know, we know nothing about these people, right? It's like the first few minutes of the movie.
Right.
Yeah. You know, not a lot of people around these parts worth a damn to go fishing with. And I'm like, oh, they're best buds. Wasn't that clever?
And the way this sheriff looks, folks at home, it's like Buford T. Justice. It is just the fattest, countryest sheriff you could ever imagine, well, with his bolo tie. And oh,
it's
my God.
It's Hoyt Axton from Gremlins.
Papa Gremlin.
I'm Papa Gremlin. He's the fat dad from the Gremlins who's responsible for all the havoc in those poor people's lives.
Now I just got a fucking image in my head of a gremlin with a big white beard.
Right.
Oh, like a Papa Smurf.
I immediately went there too, thinking about this little Smurf village full of little gremlins.
Yes, eat after night. You want to eat after night. Just do it. Let's all get in the pool. Do it.
So it's Hoyt Axton. He was also like a country singer. He's been in other things.
Well, was he the twang?
Do you think he scored the movie?
He might have been the twang.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no on that. Hey, Hoyt, like, you want to get on this guitar here for us? No.
I would, but fingers too fat these days, boys.
The twanging days are behind me now. I'm more about the tang, like these buffalo wings over here.
Best I can do for it is get a couple of bars out on the old mouth harp.
Yeah, that mouth harp is chicken bone.
Is it? Where'd all the cornbread go? Way to go!
Craft services bill for this movie through the roof due to one person.
And then he's like, you bring her back. I want to talk to that. I want to talk to her about where that cornbread went.
I have my contract right here.
He definitely yelled at someone on the set.
Oh, he yelled at a couple people. Probably slapped Frank Darabont around a couple of times.
First time making a movie, eh, boy? Guess what? I was in Gremlins. You're talking to Papa Gremlin, boy.
That's how show business works.
Now...
you feed me or I punch you in the mouth.
I don't even remember.
I don't care if it's after midnight.
It is Sam, right? His name is Sam.
The sheriff,
I think. Is Sam.
Yeah.
And it's very important that I bring up Tim Matheson's name, Clint Goodman. It's his actual name.
Listen,
Clint Goodman.
Write it down. We'll fix it later. It's a placeholder name. I love Clint Eastwood, and this is the hero, so he's the good man.
Jennifer Jason Leigh in this movie is obnoxious. Like,
yeah.
I don't know when it was she finally like dialed it back, but I feel like she plays a lot of these annoying characters, like kind of like stuck up, really like easy to anger kind of a person, whining all the time.
I mean, it is kind of, she's gotten much better, I think, over the years, but like that's been her type for a while, is the easily like annoyed type.
Yeah. It's just annoying.
Since Fast Times. I mean, Fast Times, she was like all, ooh, everything's new, but like, then she's in this and she's in Shortcuts and it gets, and then of course, like Greenberg type stuff where she gets really dark.
So, William Atherton, in this movie, is he doing a Troy McClure thing with these fish? Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
So it's like, we have, the opening scene is basically like Tim Matheson and Jennifer Jason Leigh, like they have this really awkward lunch and he's like, I'm going fishing with the sheriff later. She's like, that's cool. I hate your rotten guts. I'm going to go to the city. And then we cut to William Atherton and he's like, got this like kind of nice looking house. Like he's a little more like cosmopolitan, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, my pretties. Oh, my pretty baby girls. And I'm like, what's happening? And you realize he's talking to the fish tank. And I was like, oh, no, Troy McClure's the fish thing.
That's how country this movie's trying to force it down your throat, is everything about this movie has to do with fish. Oh, I'm going fishing with the sheriff. Oh, I'm making love with fish, I guess.
But no, I think that's kind of the thing, right?
The poison is derived from fish.
Right, but the good man in the movie, right?
Literally good man.
He's just going fishing. He's just having a fish with law enforcement. But the city boy, he's fucking the fish. He's getting poison out of the fish.
And he's doing science with them.
Oh, them preverts love science.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I mean, the whole thing here, everybody, is that he has pulled toxin out of these fish, kind of like the blowfish thing. But these fish that are in the movie aren't blowfish.
No, they're just
fish. Some kind of fish. I don't
know. Some kind of fish that you know how. And like the guy turns out to be, he kind of wants to be a drug dealer. He sounds like he wants to be a professional drug dealer. He wants to push pills on celebrities.
Yeah, you know what? Lucrative business.
It is a very lucrative. I don't knock his business plan necessarily.
No, it's genius.
But so he's doing all that. And then on top of this, he's this fish genius who knows how to pick this fish out, get the right gland to take out the poison, process it correctly.
I want to know where this guy learned to do this, because you know what? Pre the internet.
This is college stuff. You have to go to college to learn this stuff, unless you get a really good book.
Do you think he flunked out of marine biology because, like, the head of the department realized he was using marine biology stuff
and he
for,
got
like, evil?
Cynical, and that's why he's going after the celebrities.
They were like, you know what, William Atherton? Like, you're kicked out of this marine biology school because we know what you're doing. You keep asking questions about extracting poison from sea animals.
And you killed, like, 5 dolphins.
Yeah.
That you get kicked out so quick for that stuff.
Sexually killed.
Killed them.
You sexually killed that dolphin?
If it can happen.
That's why his nickname in college was Blowhole.
Yep, that's why. But he wants to do, he feeds her this line about he wants to open a clinic in Beverly Hills.
Right.
To work with these celebrities and movie
she's,
stars.
Yeah, and she's so stoked because she wants like city life again.
Yeah, so I think that confirms that the city may in fact be Los Angeles.
Right, okay. Yeah, you're right. So
we're figuring out where this is slowly but surely.
California something or other.
Right.
But thank God we ruled out the Florida panhandle.
Yeah. That's I think that's coming up on Jingle All the Way 2.
You're not wrong. I'll say that. And again, I don't know if you're right because I haven't seen it, but you know what? You're not wrong.
It feels right.
So this is what we have set up, is Tim Matheson, literally named Good Man, going to fish with the sheriff. She goes to William Atherton's pad and they start getting down. And that's when he like approaches, or, you know, he proposes the plan. You know, all you got to do is put this in his drink. It'll simulate a heart attack, and that's it. And then we can run off together, baby. And then the Crypt Keeper comes out of the corner and is like, is everyone paying attention? And then just goes back off screen again.
Yeah, I mean, it ends up only simulating a heart attack, but the idea is this will kill him.
Right, and it's like he'll die, And then, oh, the other thing, the important detail here, I mean, this is as convoluted as an EC comic or like a weird film noir or something.
Yeah,
like,
right.
The other thing is Tim Matheson owns this construction business, which is why they're out there. He's trying to get this business up and running. And some other dude has been offering to buy this business from him. And Jennifer Jason Leigh's all pissed off, like, hey, man, why don't you just sell this business? We can have a ton of money and then go do something else.
$1.5 million in 1990, that is quite a
chunk. I think it's like $8 trillion today.
It's a lot of fucking money.
Easily.
And, you know, so he's like, no, he doesn't want to do that. So she's understandably pissed off. So this is like, not only will you get life insurance, you can sell off this business. We'll open that clinic, baby. You know, so that's the EC Comics thing to it, right?
And like, and Tim Matheson is just off in like ignorant bliss.
Yo, it's La La Land, and I mean him and Lloyd Braun are hanging out together
in the beginning when the before she even leaves to meet William Atherton.
Yeah,
they have this lunch at home, and like he's eating, like, it's kind of gross. He's eating cold steak with his hands.
Yeah. Oh god, this is uncomfortable. Not from the eating. This scene is uncomfortable
because she's like, "You're grossing me out because you're a fucking pig."
She's like, "You ever hear of a fork?"
Yeah.
Oh, them's the city words, hon.
And he, instead of being like, "Why are you giving me shit? I'm just eating this fucking steak here." Instead of that, he's like trying to make it cutesy.
Oh yeah, he does like the rah, 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 and like tries like chewing on it like a dog.
I'm a monster. Nom 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 nom. Like she hates your guts, man. Don't you see it?
She gives him a good like. That's hilarious.
You know, I mean, it's terrible what her and this doctor try to do. But honestly, this guy is terrible.
That's
right?
What's funny about this movie. I'm like, yeah, do it. Poison him, please. These kind of people, I can't stand.
It annoys me. He annoys the piss out of me until he becomes a murderous maniac.
Spoiler alert.
A bit of a spoiler alert.
So, yeah, he goes fishing, and it's a really useless, like, it's a little bit of an exposition trainer. I guess in this case, they're on an exposition boat because they're in the middle of a lake. But it's like, like the fat sheriff's like, you know, we're best friends, and I kind of raised you, and you can talk to me about anything that is... even though I know it's none of my business. And he's like, that's cool. My life's horrible. And it's like, that's kind of it. It's like, my life's horrible, but things will get better.
Hold on there, Sonny. The ship is sinking.
This was a bad idea.
I had a big breakfast. Admittedly, that was a poor decision.
I ran out of worms. I've been shooting the fish, and one of them bullets got away from me and hit the bow.
Shot right through the boat.
Before we sink, I want to level with you. I did eat those worms.
The dirt, too. Not, I mean, I could have picked the worms out and eaten them one by one, but I thought, just do the whole cup.
Normally, I let the fish eat the worm, and then I eat the fish, so it's sort of like I still got that worm. You know what I'm saying?
It's called dieting.
I skipped breakfast, too, so... Breakfast one was fine, but I skipped breakfast two.
We're going to have to go back to the bait and tackle.
Ever since I saw that Lord of the Rings, I always wanted to have them second breakfasts. I've been trying to live a hobbit lifestyle. Seems very healthy. I always wanted hair on my feet.
I was going to... alternative joke. I was going to say, already got the hair on my feet down. One no, step closer to be a hobbit.
I bet he does have that down.
So let's get right to it. She's like, listen, William Atherton, that's a little too much for me, man. I'm not a murderer, you know? But he's like, well, you know what? He's like, he's like selling her a car. Yeah. He's like, well, you know what? Take the poison. Just take it home. Think about it. You know, sleep on it. And, you know, tomorrow, if you want to kill your husband, just, you know, go ahead and do it. And so she's home, and it's this, she really does give it an honest grade A USA college try.
Right.
Kind.
I might
argue with you.
Well,
this.
No, because
great,
he,
no, this is great restraint.
He comes home, and she's already been like, nah, and throws the poison in the garbage, right? Yeah. And we see like some of the poison. She dropped a little bit of it on the floor. She like a little bit of it's like dripping out into the garbage can.
Some paper towels.
William Atherton has stated, make sure you give him all of it. So now that stuff spilled, keep in mind, everybody, she no longer has all of it. Mm. So he comes home from fishing and he's like, hey, honey, got about 12 pounds of bass. We're going to be eating for weeks. And I'm like, I hate your rotten, soon to be dead guts.
Oh, God, just swamp fish every night.
Just eating a bunch of swamp fish.
Here, clean it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So She's like, I'm upstairs, and he goes upstairs, and there she is in some lingerie, and it's like, she's like, oh, do you think dinner can wait? And I was so, so hoping he was like, well, you know, honey, I am actually pretty hungry. But, you know, instead, you know, he goes for it. He's like, oh, yeah, I can wait. And they, you know, they get down to some lovemaking, you know.
Yep. Well, because she was thinking about murdering him nothing but 4 hours ago.
Right. But I think, but this is what I was saying about one last college try, because it's like, let me see if I can turn this around.
Right. You right? try this carnal pleasure, and if that doesn't work, you always got the other murder.
One. Right. So then they have a bunch of, you know, they have a bunch of dirty sex, right?
And
then,
oh, it's so filthy.
And then cut to, she's downstairs cooking a steak, and he's like, what about all those fish I caught? And I was like, you know what? That's it. Kill him. Kill him right now. You're making a big, juicy, delicious steak, and he comes in and starts whining about this gross swamp fish.
First of all, it's not a big, juicy steak. It's about the size of paper. It's, well, it's this, like, really thin, like...
It cooked down.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like, it's what I imagine, like, a Salisbury steak is after before you deep fry. It's, like, that thin a cut.
Well, it's not hamburger. Like,
well, no.
Steak.
But like, it's like,
it's a shitty grocery store $4 steak.
I do want to take you through just how quickly she changes her mind back to killing this man.
Yeah,
because
it is like a light switch.
It is insane because they're downstairs getting ready for dinner. She's pouring some wine. He's like, okay, I'm going to do a little work while you're making. So up until this moment, she's like, I'm done. I'm not going to kill him. I'm just going to, you know, wait out. He got this great house. You know, this is a fine life for me.
Oh, because by the way, other detail, sorry to cut you off, but other detail, William Atherton basically says, if you're not going to do this, you know, I don't want to keep sneaking around his back. Like, we're done with.
Yes.
So
he goes into his, and like, he's like, I'm going to go do some woodworking. Now, you've been living with this man for quite some time, so I imagine you know. Are they clearing?
I don't know what is backing up out there, this stupid city. Anyway, what's
great is New York City is like another character on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it always comes in and says annoying shit while we're trying to talk.
Yeah.
So you've been living with this guy for how many years? And I'm pretty sure you know he works with wood most of the time.
Yeah, it's pointed out to us. Oh, yeah, he's a good woodworker. I've taught him everything he knows about woodworking, says Papa Gremlin.
He just rebuilt that boat. I just put a hole right through it. I sat down on the lake, and I went right through.
He rebuilt it before it sank. That's how good he is with woodworking.
Brought extra 2x4s. I've never seen it in my life, to be honest with you. But, okay, so he goes into this garage, and he starts using the buzzsaw. And that's what convinces her to kill him.
Dude, this buzzsaw is not on for 3 seconds, and she switches back to, you know what? I am going to kill him. She, like, puts down the cooking utensils. She's like, nope. Runs to the garbage can, gets the poison out, and dumps it in the wine glass.
Buy a Walkman. Get you set up. You're rich. You're rich. I'm sorry. You are rich.
Right. Yeah. It is a mansion.
It's
basically
a huge house. Buy a Walkman and some headphones and be done with it.
Yes.
Or get a hobby other than screwing the local physician.
That is also not a bad note.
Probably.
I'm not saying you shouldn't, but get something in addition to. Yeah,
exactly. You know what? Some cross stitch and screwing the local physician. Right. I think you got to balance it out a little bit.
In your situation, you want to have a backup plan.
So cut to him just going through this steak. Like, just jamming the silverware into this thing, chewing with his mouth open. Oh, this is great. This is great. I really love being married to you. It's fantastic. Just going through this steak. I wanted to throw up. I love steak. I wanted to throw up. I was like, you don't deserve that steak.
I don't feel like I'm being eerily hated at all. I'm wrong.
And it's like she's just sitting there like.
Yeah, like, pick up on a signal, guy.
Yeah.
Well, she's worried because he does the old switcheroo.
Oh, right. He grabs the wine glasses off right. the counter. He's like, oh, wine. Great. What a special night.
And now she's in this terrible position where it's like the princess bride. Yeah. You know, she doesn't know where the poison is.
Yeah, totally. So she's just kind of sitting there and he's like, and of course he has to do this, right? He's like, you know what, honey? The steak's great. I want to propose a toast. And I'm like, of course you do. Yeah. It's a random nothing Wednesday. Of course you have to propose a toast.
You didn't want to read the paper? Really?
Yeah, see, now you're really understanding why she wants to kill him. I'm sure every other Wednesday it's a toast.
I'm sure every dinner at the table, you're toasting something. Toasting that the sun came out with this guy. And she's just sitting there like, nah, I kind of have a headache. And he's like, no, honey, come on, humor me. And like picks up the glass and it's just like a, to you. And I was like, oh, oh man, dude, you are the worst.
Just ignorant. Just ignorance, top to bottom.
How the guy, I mean, I could feel it through the TV, yeah. Right? I could feel the tension through the TV. How this character is not like, you know, there's something wrong with my wife right now. This woman who I live with every day, like, I can tell something's off. Maybe I should stop being such an in-your-face idiot.
If your wife answers a phone call from you, much like she answers a phone call from a bill collector...
Exactly right.
This is not a good place to be in your life. You know what? Find old Betsy or whoever you had, you know, whoever you dated in high school.
You're yep. back in your hometown.
Find one of them. Date her. You can date her and be done with it.
Find the high school sweetheart, because clearly, Tim Matheson, this is not working. You're exactly right, Chris. When your wife picks up the phone, says hello, and you're like, hi, honey, and she goes the equivalent of, oh, it's you.
Now, yeah.
Problem.
If she says that, she may be using fish ovaries juices yeah. to try and poison your wine.
Yes, so be wary whenever this happens.
So it starts happening. This starts, it kicks in. He, oh man, this is...
It's a con scream.
It's the worst way to do something like this. He starts like feeling it and he's like, oh, well, that's weird. And then seconds later, it's like, and he squeezes this glass till it breaks in his hand. And then he lets this rip. And she's freaking out and she's like, oh no, it's happening. And she gets up and like backs away from him. And he's like crawling on the floor like, help me. Please help me.
Don't call the police or 911 or anything like that, but help me.
She should call 911 just to make it look convincing, for the love
exactly.
of God.
Exactly. And you through. Know what she does? Call William Atherton.
But what she does before that is she starts yelling at him to just die
just
already.
Just die.
Get
die
away
already.
From me. Just die.
It's
just
so die. Bad. What happens if it doesn't work?
Are you out of your mind? Look concerned. Dial 911. Listeners at home, if you are killing someone... Follow those steps.
Stay in character.
Exactly.
How about a little professionalism when you're trying to murder your spouse? Right. I mean, this is ridiculous.
All the world is a stage.
Heck, you don't even... I mean, the guy is in a poisoned panic. You can press 811 for all I care.
Yeah, yes. He's not going to know.
He's not going to know anything. So yep. You're just like, oh my God, he's here and he's dying. So come. And then immediately after he's actually dead, then you call 911.
Exactly.
And just calling William Atherton immediately. It's like, if they ever look at this as a homicide, I know he's a physician, but they're going to be like, are they fucking her? Were they fucking
exactly.
Him?
Exactly. And he's so stupid because William Atherton's like, and you started off by doing the right thing. You called your doctor. And I was like, no. That's not the right thing.
No
one calls the physician. They call 911.
And he doesn't even seem like a real doctor. He seems like, you know, one of these doctors that has a specialty or something, right? He doesn't seem like a small town.
He's not a small town country doctor.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't even seem like, I look at the guy, doesn't read as a general practitioner. I could spot him out.
No, it's a post-suit plastic surgeon.
You're totally right. Yep. He's been ruined.
Yeah.
He's
so already on some small town where all those small brains won't know the difference.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Oh, he's just a nice young man that's all fancy dancy.
He got run out of Venice Beach on a rail, right? And that's what it is.
Ever since he created that lion woman. You guys remember those stories about the lion woman?
No, yeah, like a woman who got plastic surgery and all sorts of stuff to like make herself kind of look like she had a lion face.
Yeah, I think it was just a byproduct of terrible plastic. It's just like, oh, she looks like a weird cat monster now.
There was also that dude who really wanted to be a lizard or something. Remember that guy?
Yeah, and he forked his tongue and everything.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
You know what? No.
Dude, you think he did that to his dick too?
Forked
just for
it?
Fun?
Worked it?
Yeah, it's called a bifurcated penis.
I am sure he did, yes. I mean, he's like, can you make this look like the devil's tail?
Look, you can have your heroes. You don't have to be your heroes. If lizards are your heroes,
exactly.
You don't have to be them, nor do you have to be a lion.
Because if you became your hero, then what is the purpose of that hero?
Yeah, precisely. You know?
You're totally right. That dude may consider, you know what, that dude might be dead, actually. Yeah. I don't know.
Lizard Man?
Is he still kicking?
I don't know. If you're listening, write in. weallhatemovies@gmail.com.
Or just search the outskirts of Vegas, because that's more likely where he roams.
Yeah. He lives on top of a hot rock.
He went to live with the Gilas.
So he passes out. That's the end of Tim Matheson. We cut to like everyone's at the house.
Where is it?
Well, yeah, obviously. The movie's called
The
Buried
Question
Alive.
Mark is getting bigger and headed towards the screen right now.
And the Crypt Keeper just comes back out and he's like, it's getting closer. And then just goes back. So it's a lot of this movie, because it's a TV movie that aired on USA Network like in 1990. It's got some great inserted commercial breaks.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like he dies, commercial break, come back from commercial, zipping up the body bag.
Yep.
Gotta love a perfectly situated commercial break cut. It's
right.
Awesome.
You go right from the Pillsbury boy to the body bag. It's
exactly.
Beautiful.
You go from a commercial.
The Gangs of New York.
You come back in from a commercial for USA Up All Night starring Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, God. Oh, did he host that show?
This might be a thing where my memory's ruining me again in public. Yeah. See me thinking Ice-T got crucified in Johnny Mnemonic. But
sure.
I'm pretty sure Gilbert Gottfried hosted that for a while, because I think he hosted the one that I originally saw, that movie Nightmare Beach.
Oh,
yeah.
Very good.
Huh. So, yeah, the sheriff's like, oh, this is a real tragedy, blah, blah, blah. And William Atherton doing the worst cover-up job of all time.
Well, also Sheriff Sam doing the worst police work of all time. Because there's a vial of poison left out on the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
And it's just there, and they don't even pick it. Like, they don't even, like, they're not even looking for evidence.
No,
they're just
they
like,
don't care.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, he's dead.
Oh, my
I guess
fishing
he's dead.
Friend. My best friend of all these years.
My fishing pal.
Yeah.
It's
my
like,
son what? And fishing pal.
What's that? Oh, yeah, that's probably just a vial of spice rub. I keep several around my home.
I leave my turmeric in those things
by
as
the way,
well.
Speaking of kitchens, seeing Sheriff Sam's home, which we see a little later on, is just amazing. The guy's got like a spoon collection, like all these little metal spoons hanging on his wall. And man, does his house look dank.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just a simple country home. But him and his wife getting a little older, I feel like they're in the early stages of becoming hoarders.
Yes.
I think that's what's going on in that house, right?
Oh, it happens to us all.
Yeah.
I mean, a collection of spoons. What is it, the decrepit father from Mouse Hunt?
Remember, he's got the fucking collection of spoons,
spoons
and the twine.
I think the sheriff might be an honorary sheriff.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ever any kind of actual policeman.
Oh, Sam? No. He's just been around forever. We thought we'd give the boss something to do.
Yeah, exactly right. Which is hilarious that he then gets sent out on like dudes dropping dead cases.
Honestly, we put him on the bench outside of the precinct and we call him the lookout. And he was pretty happy with that.
He's just a figurehead. He just makes people feel happy, you know. Now the judge, hanging Judge Foster. Now that's the real law in town.
So now we enter like Contrivance Corner once again.
Yeah.
We're back to Contrivance Corner, and it starts in that kitchen because, man. So it's basically like William Atherton, the sheriff, and then there's this mortician, or the coroner, rather, is
right.
there.
Yeah.
So Sheriff Sam puts his arms around these two dudes in, like, a huddle, and he's like, what do you think here, coroner? We need to do any kind of investigation here? And the guy is just like, well, no, I don't think so. And William Atherton's like, well, yes, and me, as a doctor, I also don't think we need to investigate this matter whatsoever. And they're like, well, agreed. No autopsy. Straight to the morgue.
Sheriff Sam's like, okay, great. I'm going to go watch my cartoons then.
Well, Atherton plays this the best out of everybody because, well, Atherton is like, well, you know what? Not really my place. I'll leave it up to this idiot coroner who I know doesn't really want to do any work.
Yeah, you're totally right.
And then the coroner is like, nah, don't need to cut him open.
Wait,
man,
I have
physical condition falls over from a heart attack in the middle.
Yeah, yep.
It's so ridiculous.
Chalk it up to, quote, just one of those things.
There's also some line about how, like, the family is not going to pay for the, and I quote, pump and dump.
Yeah, so that's right, everybody. He's not being embalmed. And then, just so we can make this a little bit easier on the movie, they decide they're not going to pay much for a funeral, so they get a refurbished, cheap-ass nothing coffin so he can clearly punch out of it later.
Question, where do you get the refurbished coffin? Because this was definitely used.
From the basement. That's what he says. Is that...
Yeah, but it was. It looked like it had buried someone before. And then I think
here's what it was, right? Some time ago in this town, right? They were expanding the town line or something. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we're going to put a new building in here. And they started digging the foundation. And they found like an old cemetery, yeah, like from the Old West or something like that. So they dug it up and they were like, hey. Coffin surplus.
What's the worst that could happen? Be haunted by Billy the Kid.
Inventory is going to get a nice kick up today.
I mean, and you're right, though. This coffin looks disgusting.
But my favorite thing is when you actually get to the funeral scene, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, well, because it's one of those things, and this happens a lot with like coroners or rather like morticians in movies and stuff. Like, it'll be like either in this movie, a battered up coffin or like a horrible body, and it's like, well, knuckle crack. Like, yeah. Guess I'll have to do my best work with this. Put a little elbow grease in.
Spit shine that coffin. Yeah, he gets out like some perfect putty, and he's like shining up. I'm like, wait, the guy that does the pump and dumps also sands coffins and stuff? Like,
woodworker?
I guess the town woodworker died.
So now it lends to him. It goes to
him.
Well,
one less person to compete against in the county fair woodworking competition this summer.
Clint actually made his own coffin for the event of his death, but unfortunately his wife won't pay for it.
We have the blueprints to construct this coffin that he specifically died.
It's immaculate. It's gorgeous. It's a woodworking miracle.
That's the other thing. If I'm at this funeral and I see this piece of shit, tomb where we're gonna shut this guy in, you know what? I'm gonna be like, why didn't you ask me for money?
Yeah, seriously.
Why didn't you? We're all clearly there's a bunch of people at this funeral.
It's a big turnout for this funeral. I think the whole town's there.
Why wouldn't you just fucking ask me for the $100 to get a better casket?
I mean, I don't know how much.
Slightly more than that. But yeah,
but seriously though, if I was at that funeral, I'd be like, that looks like shit. You're sending this guy into the next life looking like that.
Than just a pine box. Why not just have a pine box?
It's worse than a pine box.
Okay, listeners at home, if you're going to do this to someone, you're going to inject them with the fish ovaries or whatever, you're going to want to cremate, okay?
Cremate.
Once he gets in there, even if he like wakes up from the flames, it's too late, man. And they'll keep going. Yeah. He'll be done.
Why did you think about this, man?
We do get a tease, by the way, before the funeral and everything, because they're like, well, we'll put him in this garbage bag tomorrow. So he's just on the slab in a body bag, and like the body bag twitches.
He move his neck or something to that effect? Yeah.
Also, another perfectly timed commercial break.
Yep.
Also, right before the coroner like stops his autopsy, he does press the scalpel to this guy's flesh.
Oh, right. Yep. It's about to happen. That's right. Like, it's not cut off until the last second.
It's insane. And that is a little too close.
And he's about to do
convenient.
He's about to do the pump and dump.
Yeah. You know, pump and dump is also a thing that's used... it's an expression when women are using like a breast pump nursing. So that's what this is weird that they call it movie.
It's also what a lot of people say their morning routine is.
Oh, my Lord.
You know what I'm talking about.
The dudes of the world.
Yes.
Hey, Chris, did you know what Eric was talking about?
I had a slight idea.
Because Eric just wanted to make sure the room knew what he was talking
about.
I'm
clear.
Yes.
You meant go to a gas station and take a dump in their bathroom, right?
Yes, of course. Because on my way to work, I want to have a full tank. Because
it's important.
Personally, I don't like to fill that shit up on my way home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you just want to get home as fast as you can.
Exactly. But in the morning, you know what? Go out for the pump. You know, I'm there. I've had my coffee, my brand muffin. Guess what? Time for the dump.
Well, and the thing is you have to look for the ones with the market attached, or the mart, rather, attached, because they have the better ones.
I actually prefer a filthy gas station.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's terrifying. I mean, it does have character. Oh, I give you that.
Exactly. There's a certain authenticity I enjoy about it. Like if my rear is not tingling from the seat and its characteristics.
If there's not a good chance you could get a virus that could kill you.
Oh, yeah, I like the thrill of it all.
I live dangerously. Yeah.
The sheriff has a really bad line delivery. Not to backtrack too far, but it's at one point like when he's just died and he goes, he's like, it's like a robot voice. He's like, I just can't believe that he's gone. And I'm like, yep, you're doing it. You're really, I don't know how you got gremlins, but you're doing it here.
Now, coroner, don't feed him after midnight. And that's the other thing is that this, you know, pump and dumper slash coroner slash woodworker refers to replacing blood with embalming fluid as just like changing your oil.
Yep.
To this young, like, he's got a guy who, of course, faints, faints.
Yeah, there's an apprentice who just can't stomach it. Of course there is.
You really want to be talking about this shit, man, like that?
Well, I mean, it's a crash course, man. You got to dive
here's
in.
Here's the thing. Once you get into that line of profession, right, you got to separate yourself from humanity to such a degree that it's just like washing the dishes, you know?
Yeah.
You got to make this such, you got to dehumanize them. It's sort of like what you do before you go to war, right? Like you start talking about how they're not really human, you know?
Distancing like, yourself. I mean, it's important.
You use certain slurs about them just so it makes you feel like it's not a big deal.
Those filthy deadites.
Yeah, exactly.
Like maggot food. I guess that's what you would do. To deride a corpse.
Now you're just maggot food. You ate nothing but maggot food. Yeah, exactly. So also, by the way, there is a super dog in this movie.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Tim Matheson has a loyal Rottweiler who hates Jennifer Jason Leigh's guts.
Which also, I don't know if it's at this point, but that dog kind of has its own theme music at some point, and it's also kind of twangy. And there's also during that sex scene, there was like a piano, but it somehow turned into like a twangy piano.
They figured out how to twang a piano. That's how much the composer of the score loved twanging.
Yeah, I think it might be called piany.
Pianies.
It does turn from a piano. It's sexy piano into a raunchy piany. Yeah. That's exactly what happens.
Because you know we're in the country now. Yeah.
So Jennifer Jason Leigh's like, I'm so excited. My husband's finally in the ground, and I hate his dirty dog. So she like lets the dog out, and she's trying to shoot it, and the dog just runs away. Somehow this super dog finds its way to the cemetery, and it's a big cemetery. It's not like a small town cemetery.
This is
it's
where the music cemetery. Is really pumping with this dog.
This dog's like running through this cemetery, which I never saw a dog run through a cemetery before. It was awkwardly kind of majestic.
Well, it's funny because he's not really even running. It's like he's actually like looking for the right tombstone. He's just like browsing.
Nope, not that one. Oh, well, he was also named Goodman, but that's not the one. Okay.
Mrs. Janine, Mrs. Fennett.
Well, the thing is,
where did we leave it? I thought it was right next to, you know, Oswald.
I was here when they picked out the plots. I remember we said it was six down from that tree.
I took a shit on Mr. Harvard. I know that.
Maybe He smells his life, you know, like the pheromones, like, oh, my master is still alive.
Oh, maybe.
I have to go and find him. Because
he gets right to the tombstone, and you see, like, the fresh covered earth.
Oh, and by the way, of course, it's a horrific rainstorm right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really coming down. It's raining cats and dead dogs.
and luckily, this live dog ignores all those obstacles and still makes its way to his master's
grave. And he just like lays down next to the tombstone.
I thought he would start digging.
That's a missed opportunity. Yeah. That's a big problem for me. Start digging him up.
Or howl. Howl at the moon to like rise him.
Yes,
from
exactly right, Chris.
Exactly. Moon magic and stuff.
But no, I'm just going to fucking hang out here like I'm waiting for your slippers.
The dog awakens the moon that changes the tides that pours the corpse right out of the ground.
Or like, right, he starts howling at the moon. The rain starts getting harder and harder. And this fresh covered earth somehow starts washing away, right?
That,
None of that.
Instead, he just gets muck in his eye, and that's how he wakes up.
We have a really stupid effect of, like, it's a high-angle shot looking directly down at this grave, and the camera, like, zooms through the dirt into the coffin, and Tim Matheson wakes up and, like, realizes what's going on. Yeah, he's getting, like, mud water in his eye and stuff.
Gross.
And he starts screaming, but then he realizes very quickly, like, oh, actually, this is the world's worst coffin. I can just start pushing my way out of this fairly easily.
It's like a soggy fucking graham cracker.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's like his coffin.
Eat his way out.
This,
yeah. Ooh. Now, see, this is when he starts screaming, that dog better start digging.
Right?
Yeah.
Lazy-ass super dog.
Because you know that dog, and I have to remind, do I have to remind you, dogs have better hearing than we do.
Yeah, it doesn't make any
sense. There would at least be muffles coming out of that grave.
He would be interested in what was going on below that grave. That's all I'm saying, is that he would be very interested in what's going on.
And especially this dog who somehow knows, right, that Tim Matheson is there.
Right.
If the dog knows this is where my master has gone to rest, where he's, you know, he's carrying out his eternal slumber, right?
Right.
But if he starts hearing a noise, the super dog, and, as a super dog, should start digging him up.
And, you know, I'm not satisfied with the dog acting in this, but it's also a bad dog written part.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it should be doing these things. This dog should have more to do.
You're totally right, Eric. It's not the dog performer. It's the dog writing.
Yeah. Exactly.
That dog can only do so much.
They're sticking this dog out in the middle of this rainstorm. I think he's going to get dog pneumonia. And like... I mean, this is I don't get it. Like, you could have done so much more of him. He is just kind of like his best buddy.
So he crawls out of the ground, and it's disgusting, but whatever. He's alive.
All the way back to his house. He knows how to get back to his house from the cemetery.
Well, are you talking about the dog or him? Why wouldn't you know how to get... This is his hometown. He knows where the cemetery is. He knows where he lives.
Chris, I know how to theoretically walk, you know, to Montauk, Long Island from here. I'm not going to do it, but I know how.
Just my thinking is that I've been poisoned by some kind of fish.
Yeah.
I've been buried underground. God only knows what's been injected into me. What's been done to me, I might not have all my ducks in a row when I climb out of this grave.
You know what would have been great? If he crawled out of the grave and thought he was like a zombie or a ghost or something, right? If he was like, oh, well, I seem to remember I had a heart attack or something. For whatever reason, my evil wife didn't help me out, but now I'm crawling out of the grave. Oh my God, I'm a zombie. And then he just starts walking around town, and like the first person he sees, he's like, oh, well, I'm a zombie. I guess I have to bite this person, right? That's what zombies do. And he just like goes up to some lady and starts chowing down.
Now, wait a minute, Clint. Wait, you ate her brains because you thought it'd give you powers. Thought make you a more powerful zombie, you say?
Sustenance? That's the reason for this murder. Sustenance.
Oh, now, shit. I'm just going to tell him that you pulled a gun on me. And he just blows
you gotta
him away.
You got to be gone.
I think that's it's kind of, here it is. Oh my God, you guys, we could make this movie with Larry the Cable Guy, because it's just like Delta Farce. They crash land in Mexico, and because it's a warm desert location, they think it's the Middle East. Larry the Cable Guy, buried alive, crawls out of the grave and is like, I'm a zombie. Hey, it's cool.
But I only eat chicken.
Yeah, I'm a zombie who loves chicken.
Well, now this human tastes like chicken. Oh, wow.
Oh, that's it. That's it, by the way. He chows down on some woman's forearm, and it's just a taste like chicken joke. Yeah. Oh, this Larry the Cable Guy zombie movie writes itself.
Wow.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. Cast Jeff Foxworthy as the guy who's got to blow his brains out.
And Jeff Fahey as the guy who has to teach him how to blow his brains out.
It's just him teaching how to use a gun.
Well, yeah. I mean, I assume if Jeff Foxworthy has to put down Larry,
he's going to need some convincing.
I mean, he needs some psyching up. He needs to be convinced that it's his actual zombie. It's not his best friend that he's been doing bad comedy with.
He's got him chained up in the shed, like at the end
of Shaun of the Dead.
But instead of video games, it's just going through bad stand-up routines.
No! People from Tulsa act like this! Hey, Jeff, get out here. I got a new one about farting. Okay, Zombie Larry. I'll be right out.
Oh, man.
So he crawls out and he gets back to the house and he breaks in through the basement because the door's locked.
Yeah.
And this is where it becomes Hyder in the house, too.
Yes.
Because, like, he comes back and he does have enough of his faculties to be like, my shitty wife tried to kill me. Let's figure out what's going on here. But he takes a lot of liberties with this. Like,
yes.
He walks into the bedroom and she's asleep and there's, like, pills on the table. So he's like, good. She's totally passed out. Time to take a super loud bath in the next room?
Well, it's not even a bath. He puts his racked up hands.
Oh, this part first. Yeah, this is gross.
They're torn up and he just pours an entire bottle of peroxide into a sink and he puts his, I don't think this happens, but he puts his hands on it and it like Alka-Seltzers.
Yeah, that's fake.
Yeah.
That's
on your hand, it would like you would get the bubbles, but like, I don't think it just does that.
It's like he put his hands in a witch's cauldron. Like, dry ice starts shooting out of this sink, and again, it's another lion roar. He's like, no!
Well, he's
like,
got the towel in the thing, and he's like,
oh, yeah, because that makes...
But still, you could hear the guttural, like, throat, like...
Like, she's waking up. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true. She would wake up, but that is just horrifying, right?
There's a couple scenes in this movie, but that was one I was like, oh!
How do his hands get so screwy? Just crawling out of the grave?
Digging out of the wood, I imagine.
Yeesh. Like, punching through shitty wood is still punching through wood.
Terrifying is a lot of people have been buried alive.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And it could happen to you. But, you know, they find these coffins, right, with all the nail marks in it and stuff. Like someone whittles down to their bones trying to dig out.
It always creeped me out. You read about, like, old-timey cemeteries that had like that bell system.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cuz what was it like tuberculosis at the time? What was the thing that like you died but maybe you didn't die?
I think it was a cold. Cuz back then anything
just
would put
no
you
medical
down.
Science whatsoever.
I believe they refer to it as the sniffles.
Yeah.
The Black Death, like whatever it was, right? Yeah, because they were bad at determining if someone was dead. So they like ran a string from a bell like down into the ground. And if you woke up, you were like, oh, been buried alive. Better ring my bell.
Well, again.
Yeah. No hard feelings, you guys. I know it's really hard to tell if someone's been, you know, expiring.
Herbert, this is the third time this has happened this month.
Do you think there was like, you know, like an unlucky Larry who just totally, you know, just like got buried alive like four times or something like that. It's like newspaper headline, like local man buried alive for fifth time.
I would hope so. I don't know, but I would hope so.
I feel like it had to turn into something like The Boy Cried Wolf, like the third time and he's actually dead. And they're like, no, don't bury him. Just leave him here. He'll be up in a minute.
He starts rotting.
Actually, conversely, I think that some of the stuff probably happened the opposite. Like, take that bell down. I can't have the bad publicity. This guy is, you know.
Oh, you think they were crooked?
Yeah, like,
oh, yeah.
Just bury him alive. I don't care.
Dude, people running cemeteries. That's got to be one of the most crooked businesses of all time.
Oh, and back in that day,
grave robbing alone.
Oh yeah, they definitely
string up, right? Like you pull the string up, and no one's the wiser. Right.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the idea of an undisturbed grave, that's just folklore. That doesn't have everything gets robbed, you know,
dude. Back then, seriously, like don't get on the bad side of the cemetery, man.
Grave robbing, like a Fortune 500 company up until 1950.
1950.
Everyone did it. There's just gold. There's, you know, the gold rush didn't pan out. But everyone's buried with their gold rings and their gold
corpse
fillings.
Rush, certainly.
Yes.
Dude, actually, you know what? Speaking of grave robbing, this is a weird story to tell, but I remember when my grandmother passed away, I was in middle school. And at the wake, right? So like before, you know, we were going to close the coffin and go to the cemetery, right? We're walking out of the funeral parlor and my mom says to my dad, stay behind and watch them shut it. Because she was, like, buried with, like, jewelry and stuff on.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I don't want them stealing stuff from my mother. Like, stay behind and make sure that shit gets shut and nothing is taken off. Like, yeah. So I bet you it still happens because that still qualifies as grave robbing.
Yes, no, it will, believe me, it happens.
Yeah.
You ever come across a dead person and you just like go through their wallet real quick? I mean, that
it's a harmless crime, first of all.
Technically, yeah, exactly. It's victimless, but it's still
dude. I'll tell you what, I would never be a grave robber. You know why? Do you want a one-way ticket to the worst haunting of your life? Stealing from the dead?
However, great exercise.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Why, you're digging all the holes?
Think of how deep those holes are. I mean, that is...
Yeah,
I mean,
we get backhoes to do it now, but you're right.
Yeah, before that, they actually had grave
and when diggers. And when you get the haunting and the poltergeist is banging around, you're pacing around your house at night. You're getting some extra cardio in.
Yeah. You're sweating from terror. You're
do
just
a little
sweating.
Rope-a-dope with the ghost.
Your Fitbit is adding up. You're doing all right.
Fuck, I'm only at 9,000 steps. Shit.
You're totally right, guys. Really? It is a shame that in this day and age, the only thing we can associate with Gravedigger is a monster truck. That's really unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, you know, probably one of the undisputed best monster trucks.
Oh, I think without a doubt. Yeah,
I think that's king it's of the monster
truck. Take that, Truckosaurus. Nobody cares about you.
It's a dynasty. It's like the New York Yankees of the
monster truck world.
Herbert and Lenore Gravedigger being announced at the presidential ball.
I mean, it's that and Truckosaurus.
I mean, it's really the only two, and nobody wants to say a dinosaur is the best at anything.
Oh, the Truckosaurus. They're so snooty.
Oh, look who just walked in. The Truckosauruses.
You know, you're not really even a truck.
Oh, the serpents. Let's not even talk to them.
So now, by the way, he's just hiding in this house. She wakes up the next day and she's like, huh, mud all over the bathroom, eh? That's weird.
Well, no, the first night, she walks by an open door where he's just on the steps.
Right.
Oh, right.
He initially he grabs his shotgun and he's like, I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill her.
Oh, no. You're right. Oh,
it's a big reveal.
Oh, right. Oh, reveal. My God. Oh, my God. So, yeah, it's just going to be a straight up, I'm just going to kill her. Maybe I'll kill myself after that. Who knows? And he's like Elmer Fudd, like creeping up the stairs with his shotgun. And then she overhears that that Jennifer Jason Leigh had been pregnant with his child, and William Atherton facilitated the abortion. Oh, that's going to change your tide winds. Oh, he bout faces and decides he's going to rewrite
she
a couple of these plans.
She started to have an affair with her abortion doctor.
That's too easy. That's what he says to a shotgun blast to the face.
He looks at the shotgun and goes, no, that's too easy. Creeps back into the shadows quietly. Oh, you're right. Oh, I can't believe it.
You know, I mean, it's so crazy. Like, obviously, the route to have gone was to go to the sheriff's house.
Go directly to the sheriff's house.
Go to that worm-eaten sheriff.
Look, I was clearly poisoned. I remember breaking a glass. I remember having what felt like a heart attack. She kept on saying, just die, just die.
Yeah.
Test my blood if you really want to.
It's open and shut.
There's no losers here.
Oh, test his blood for the poison. I thought you were saying test his blood to prove that he was alive. Look, I swear to God, I'm not a zombie. Okay?
Clint, this just tested positive for a dead man.
Dead blood.
He's thrown in jail.
We don't take kindly to zombies.
You know what, Clint? In this town, we prefer our residents to have a pulse. Just slowly backs him out of the police
station.
That's
what I imagine. Is he walks in, zombied out, just having pulled yourself up.
I mean,
your
he does
grave.
Look like shit.
And he walks in, and they all shoot him because they all think he's zombies.
Yeah, you know, you're totally right. Then like, you got to do hospital. It over the phone. You have to do it over the phone.
Excuse me, I've just risen from my grave, and
a
zombie.
No. Call Papa Gremlin. Be like, I didn't want to come to you in person because I was worried you would think I was a zombie and you'd murder me sight unseen.
I know Day of the Dead just came out on VHS and everybody's been renting it from Joe's. Yeah. But
Exactly. Exactly. I know the zombie craze that's sweeping this town right now. That's why I'm calling you in advance to say I'm about to come down to the police station. Some weird shit happened.
I'm not even the talking one. I'm not any of them.
I mean, I'm just hospital.
Please give me the hospital.
Get these hands fixed.
Yeah. Can I get new hands? Because yeah. this stuff doesn't look like it's going to work again.
No, it's not.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, for seeing a man in the shadows in her own home, not too concerned about it.
Well, she's hearing all these creaks. She's seeing all these like footprints and stuff. And she's like, I guess derelicts.
Like, yeah, well, that's she calls William Atherton and she's like, yeah, so I think someone snuck into the house. Maybe you should come over. I think he might still be here. And it's so matter of fact. I'm like, you know what? Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah.
Like, I'm leaving the house for the night. Yes. She's like, if you can make it over, I don't want to be a bother. But there might be someone hiding somewhere in my house.
One of my favorite moments of the hiding in the house in this is, you know, he bandages up his hands. And then he finds his isotoners.
Oh, God.
Got to put those on.
Yeah.
That's the best 90s glove ever.
Well, he also, after he gives his hand the peroxide bath, he gives himself some sweet dark man hands.
Yeah.
Like they're all wrapped up like jangly.
Like I made a note, like you see this man become a villain. Like I lived long enough to see Tim Matheson become a villain.
Yes.
That's exactly what you see the transformation.
Once you've lived until the point of 1990, you've lived long enough to see him become a villain.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they get, because I mean, Tim, you know, being Tim Matheson, you have those big, bright blue eyes.
Right.
I feel like they gave him like gray contacts towards the end of the movie where it's just like...
Yeah, they kind of actually make him start to look like a zombie, like as if he's actually died and is just rotting from the inside out. Because the man that we see at the end of this movie is not the beautiful Tim Matheson I grew to love in Animal House. You know what
he's
I mean?
He's renegade.
He's become renegade. So he gets a pretty big costume put together.
Yeah.
Is what goes on here.
Of course, because you're now you're going to remodel the house into a house of horrors. You got to have your horror villain outfit.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's insane.
Well, right after that phone call, we realized that, of course, William Atherton, being the sniveling piece of shit he really is.
Oh yeah,
he's now he's now planning on poisoning Jennifer Jason Leigh as well.
Correct. We cut back to his pad, and he's extracting more serum into a needle.
And it's the best thing in the world.
A syringe, rather.
Because we find out that he's like the biggest loser. Like he's got
not that he's lost a lot of weight.
No.
He's got a lot of debt.
He's got a lot of debt, which I kind of wish The Biggest Loser was about that. People with the most debt.
Oh my
and you
God.
Just have to work at shitty jobs until you pay off your debt. And that's like the whole season of the show.
Dude,
that's
it's called
life.
America.
Yeah. It's called This American Life. I think I'm living it.
I didn't mean to call you a loser.
I think I need to zombify myself now. But also, here's another giant red flag. By this time, she has gone to all the money men. She sold the company.
Oh,
she's
right,
gotten the insurance. She's like, I need everything in cash.
Yeah, this dude shows up with a briefcase full of money. Come on.
Absolutely not. I understand he's in construction. He probably has ties to the mafia.
Right.
Yeah.
But come on, right?
A banker's check. Go to a...
You can still... And again, it's the same thing like screaming, died, why won't you die, without being, assured that he's going to die. Like, it's the same thing. Just play it cool. And this is where William Atherton does say, right after the death, like, listen... We have a long way to go. Like, we just can't run off now. We have to play it cool. You have to wait for all the insurance to process. You have to sell the business properly.
And you're not changing identities here, okay? You're staying who you are.
You're the Widow Goodman.
You gotta exactly. No one would go against the Widow Goodman in this town.
Mrs. Goodman? No. No, and like, but that's the thing. I think William Atherton is the one who's requesting the cash. Because as we find out, he doesn't want to have to, cash a check in her name.
Right.
It's not like, hey, could you sign that $1 million check over to me?
So if you're having an adulterous affair with some doctor that's
scumbag.
Yeah. Who's probably a doctor because that's part and parcel.
Sure.
Do not listen to him when he says to get
cash. Don't trust anybody who says
cash. Yeah, I was
going to
say
cash.
The profession here. Is the least of the problem. Like, if anyone's like, yeah, do this. And by the way, when you do it, ask for cash.
Oh,
only cash.
Yeah, there's a problem. I don't know what, it could be any number of problems, but it's not a smooth deal.
Here's the only times you should hear cash only, all right? So some dirty dive truck stop and some hipster restaurant. That's it.
That's it.
The only two times in modern society where cash only is still acceptable.
And exactly. A bar of a certain square footage.
Yes. You know, honestly, I go into bars nowadays and they're like, no tabs, cash only. I'm like, I might stay for one drink. Like, that's, I'm leaving after that.
Well, now
it's great that you have a cool old fashioned cash register. I'm going to take my credit card someplace else.
The grocery store where I can get some and beers go and go home and drink myself stupid.
I was going to try to be social, but I'll just be a shut in. Fine. Have your way.
I was doing my best to get out there, but you forced me to go back to my couch.
That's another one for This American Life.
So Atherton is coming. They are getting the cash. She gets the cash that morning.
Right. It's all set.
So now we're come to it.
And, you know, there's not much left. And, so,
and you know, they're going around, they're cheating afterwards. Like he comes over the night he died as well.
Right.
And it's like, give it a month, man. Like, wait a while. Don't keep having sex with each other, because the sheriff just stops by at one point just to check up on her.
Just to see how it's going.
You know, he takes the dog to his place for a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to take, you know, help her out a little bit, you know. And then, like, William Atherton just shows up while the sheriff is there. Luckily, he's leaving at that point, and William Atherton's like, oh,
I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're seeing my patients more than I am.
Clever jokes to justify why I'm here.
But it's another red flag.
It's, well, that's the thing. If there was any actual law enforcement in this town, this plan would be uncovered toot sweet.
Open shut case. Yeah. Honestly. Oh,
absolutely. No, it's just the fact that you got Barney Fife as the sheriff.
Because there's
this
a vial of poison
just right there
on the countertop.
Just right in front of everybody's face.
But 6 feet from the body.
But remember, we thought it was spice rub.
Yeah, or flavor crystals.
Or I guess like what, molasses.
Barbecue flavor crystals.
Wait, is this Larry or Guy Fieri?
They're slowly melting into the same person.
Because Guy Fieri loves
Guy the Cable Guy.
Loves some
Guy the Cable Guy.
Oh my God, it's like incepting itself.
Oh,
snake eating its own tail.
Fat Inception.
Photoshop fans at home, we had that great thing where someone, I saw it on the internet recently, someone was like, this is what Guy Fieri would look like with normal hair and no goatee. I want to see Guy the Cable Guy. Someone cleverly mash up Larry the Cable Guy and Guy Fieri. We hit movies bonus points for you. That's what that
also,
is.
Also, you know, mock up a poster for Fat Inception.
Fat Inception?
Tom Berenger can stay.
Tom Put Berenger that on the table. Stay.
Wipe out the rest of the cast. It's just the blue collar comedy guys and Tom Berenger. Fat Inception.
Going into his head. Cool.
Oh, man, look at these dreams. That road's twisted.
I'm on the wall.
Here comes Truckosaurus.
You tell me I get to drive Gravedigger?
He is the superior monster truck.
Oh, and it's like the train. Instead of the train, it's the Gravedigger. pushing through.
Larry the Cable Guy is eating at an outdoor cafe, and a monster truck drives through the street.
I think at the end, he's just like, I live that life. We live together in the ruins. You and my, we live together with the whole.
It's all like upside down Walmart and like empty Hardee's,
just like vacant trailers.
I washed up on this shore. Who are you? Am I in the Orient?
Nah.
And then instead of a top spinning over, it's if a bucket of Doritos falls on the ground, if all the chips hit the floor, it's a dream. But we cut before the last Dorito hits the linoleum floor of the trailer. It cuts to black and you just hear, hey, Koo! That's the end of Fat Inception. Great movie.
I'd buy a ticket.
So, whatever. This dog gets in on the act, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, Atherton goes off once again to Whereverville, and or he's on the way. And so the dog is like in the house or barking or something. Mm-hmm. And the Jennifer Jason Leigh like comes around the corner and we see, is this what happens? Like Tim Matheson, this is where we first see the reveal of him in the getup.
That's when she comes in.
She's like, again, there's someone hiding in this house. I'm going to see what's going on. And then, like, the dog barks or something. And she's like, oh, you again. And then Tim Matheson comes around the corner and he's got a welder's mask on, the gloves, and this whole thing. And she, like, shoots him and then falls down the basement stairs.
There's a recoil, and she stumbles down. And then William Atherton then shows up trying to then kill her with the serum.
To do the same thing to her
and get the cash. And she thinks that that the welder's mask guy was him, maybe?
Right, yes.
So she's still hiding in the basement.
And she hits him in the head with a pipe.
Yeah, as he comes down to the basement stairs, and then the door closes behind them. And this is where it gets a little crazy.
Well, because she was trying to get out. Like, she was about to get out, and she looked back, I think, for the money. And then, like, she turns around, and he closes the door again.
Right.
And then they start hearing some construction noise.
Yeah, and William Atherton's just like, I don't know what he's doing up there. He's moving furniture around. And you don't see what happens. Like, we spend all the time in this basement.
You hear all the woodworking noises, which is also what drove you to kill your husband. Would you ever think that maybe, I mean, honestly, I know it's far-fetched to be like, my husband came back from the dead.
Honestly, right. That would be my first thought.
Yeah, exactly. He obviously knows his house. Well, he knows his way around the workshop.
That would be great if it was like, nobody knows how to turn on that table saw but my supposedly dead husband. And it's like, and it's like sawing wood. And she's like, holy shit, he's back from the dead.
You see here, you got to kick it. That's how it turns on. You kick it.
That would be a good thing to set up earlier in the movie. She's like, I tried to turn on this whatever. It didn't work. And he's like, oh, all you got to do is do this. Nobody knows how to do it but me and you.
How'd you start that car, old man?
Yeah, exactly.
And by this point, he has boarded up all the windows to the basement. William Atherton kicks one out to try to escape. The dog is on the lawn now,
like
trying
Cerberus
to eat
himself.
Them.
Yeah, the dog is in on it. He's keeping them in the basement. And,
oh, God bless this movie for this line, because then William Atherton says, we got Jason upstairs and Cujo on the front lawn.
Good job.
Oh, congratulations.
Nice.
Yes. Friday the 13th reference. Yes.
My favorite line, actually, and it's just because it's such an awkward line and it's delivered so awkwardly. When she first sees the poison, Jennifer Jason Leigh says,
I never knew murder could be so pure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the worst line in this movie.
And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I never thought murder could be this pure. And she's getting all like horned up looking at this vial of poison.
Yeah, it's a weird moment. So construction's going on upside. William Atherton is certain he's got it. That dumb sheriff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Botched all of this.
It's the sheriff's fault.
He's the one who's doing this. He's the one who's got the drop on us.
Like, have you met this man? It's the same guy was in that don't give him the autopsy huddle. That guy's not perpetrating this. Come on.
Two and two together. Come on, Fife.
You both got to look at, well, at least she got to look at this guy.
The dimensions don't work at all.
Yeah, exactly.
It's clearly not a guy.
He wasn't morbidly obese.
Yeah, it's clearly not a guy that suffers from Taco Bell sweats. It's clearly not.
No. It's a guy who looks like he probably eats a lot of, you know, white meat.
Yeah.
Stays away from the dark and, you know, maybe even takes the skin off. Or actually, no, because he's eating chicken all through this friggin' movie.
Yeah, he's finger licking good.
Well, that was the other weird line I heard where William Atherton and her go to the fridge and, like, they're looking for a midnight snack. And she's like, oh, no, not boring chicken. Let's have sexy strawberries. I'm like, what the really, well, guys?
I choose chicken over strawberries every time.
And well, so is Tim
Matheson. But unless you are getting into some sexy scenarios. Now, if you're having some sexy scenarios.
Right. You want to stick to fruit because if you start doing chicken, then you're going to do like the Costanza and you only get horned up when you're eating a sandwich.
Pastrami gets you really riled up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not where you want to be.
You don't want that to happen. No. So we've got this like this old house demonstration is going on upstairs. We don't see any of it, right? Like that's the big surprise. And you're like, what is he doing up there that we can't see?
Allowing them to pick at each other.
Yeah, exactly. And they kind of, like, she figures out that William Atherton was going to kill her. Like, she finds, because when Atherton falls down after the pipe hit, the syringe goes flying.
Yeah.
She eventually finds it, and she's like, well, you son of a bitch, you were going to kill me. Yeah. And every time they get, like, ready to kill each other, like, Tim Matheson opens the door like, hey, weird distraction up here.
Right.
And they kind of realize, like, okay, we're in this together kind of a thing. So he finally just opens the door. Like, the door opens very mysteriously.
Yep.
And they're like, all right, I guess let's go upstairs.
And William Atherton has this whole plan about how he's going to give 50% of the money to Barney Fife. And
yeah,
as soon as he takes it, he's going
to
kill him.
Yeah, he's trying to, like, negotiate with this dude, which, you know, that stuff's never going to work, you know. And, we get upstairs, and the reveal is he has literally remodeled this house in a matter of like a day or two and put up all of these walls, yep, making this weird like plywood maze.
Death trap. It's an honest to goodness house size death trap.
It's a complete labyrinth. All it's missing is David Bowie in tights.
Yeah. You're just like, what? What is happening right now?
Power of voodoo.
Who do you do?
Remind me of the babe.
The babe with the pow. All right. All right. We'll be here all night.
Both movies have killed babies, or tried to, because they were trying, yes, to kill a baby in that movie.
So, yeah.
This movie had an abortion predating it.
I see. So,
it's the prequel.
It makes sense.
So we're just walking around this maze, this, yeah, wood maze, and he is like, he not only has he made like a maze, there's like compartment
slats,
doors.
Yeah.
So like walls are closing off around them and different paths are being made. How on earth this guy did this on his own?
After his arms are basically destroyed.
Yeah, his hands are just all cut up and
that was the power. That's where the woodworking came from.
It's like a piano player breaking his hand, man. Career over.
Maybe he's using his feet to do a lot of this construction.
And I mean, it's
and that they, I'd like to see.
They they have a dropped line of like, oh man, he's just a magician with woodworking. And that, I'm like,
yeah,
man, I get that, and I'm pretty sure he could probably make a shelf pretty quick.
Yeah.
But this is 5 hours for what is essentially a small house inside of a bigger house.
Right. Beeline that is pointless to waste that much time discussing, but the sheriff is conducting an investigation.
I love this.
Because they found like the open grave and they're like, huh, someone stole the body. And the sheriff's like, dig up this coffin. And by the way, don't send it to the police station. Have it delivered to my house.
My dingy basement.
I'm conducting my own personal investigation on this one.
There's a scene, and we're not shitting around here, where he wakes up in the middle of the night and is just,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
Martha, you stay down there. I'm gonna. He goes down to his dingy basement in the middle of the night and just starts looking at this casket.
Martha, like, I got the gas.
There's also a great scene where he's just drinking a beer in the dark.
Yeah. He's drinking a beer in the dark, and then like she comes down and she's like, "Oh, you're drinking a beer, huh? You're gonna be up all night going to the bathroom." And he's like, "Want to drink it with me?" But yeah, so he's like looking, staring at this thing like Sherlock Holmes trying to solve a puzzle. And then he looks at it and he's like, wait a second. And like Uma Thurman in Kill Bill, he just punches through this coffin lid like, oh, it's a shitty coffin.
Eureka.
I got it now.
It only took me 2 weeks to figure it out.
And then nothing comes of that until he shows up at the end of the movie.
Listen, you find Clint Goodman's grave desecrated to that degree. You,
yep,
find this coffin's really weird. Why wouldn't you roll up, check on the wife again? You know, like just
immediately.
Just because it might not be anything, but just check
it might be it somebody
out
with a vendetta against the family.
Yeah,
right.
Right, like that happened. Who knows what's happening with Jennifer Jason Leigh?
He kept on denying this guy was trying to buy his business.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the guy, yep, keeps on saying no. The guy is upping his value every time. He's getting angrier.
Yep.
Why not even look into that angle?
You know what? Pretend for 2 seconds like you have the mind of a police officer.
And then immediately,
instead of a child.
BT Dubs, immediately after the guy's dead, he does get the business.
Yeah, exactly.
Who has the most to gain?
Exactly.
Precisely.
But no, nothing like that.
Of course,
happened.
Not logic or reason or anything like
so
that.
So we go back to the house, and, you know, he's closing in on them. He's tormenting them a little more. At one point, William Atherton, like, turns to run from him, and he falls over and falls on his own syringe and kills himself.
Yep.
Oh, it's great.
It's pretty great.
His heart attack is induced much faster than the others.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because it's like injecting instead of drinking.
Yeah, because he also got the full dose.
And yes. It's immediately like for a split second can see through time, and then he just dies. It's so awesome. He's
Jupiter and Beyond the Infinite for a second.
You just see a bunch of colors flying past his face, and you're like, what's happening to
him? It's full of stars.
He turns into a 90-year-old man and just dies.
Yep.
Where's the monolith?
Yeah.
And then, he turns into a star child, clearly. And then Jennifer Jason Leigh is standing there, and, like, another compartment shuts off, and then this little, like, doggy door-sized door opens, and she's like...
Nope, no way in hell am I going through that.
Yeah.
I thought the dog was going to be sicked on her through that little hole.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? He releases the hound?
Just have her get eaten by a dog.
Oh, yeah, dude. That dog finally gets his revenge because he's hated her through this whole movie.
Yeah.
But this is method. I mean, this guy... The reason she goes, by the way, it's... Tim Matson in his, the wielder mask?
It's a welder mask, and, like, he's got, like, a big puffy vest on.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't have any weapons. I'd bum rush him.
Yeah.
Just see what I can do.
Yeah, not go through this doggy door.
I mean, he's not making a move, so my first assumption, since he's not coming directly at me with some kind of weapon, would be that he wants me to go in there, and it's going to spell my doom.
And also, you know, the only right move to make, like in War Games, is not to play.
Right.
Some psycho's going to all this trouble to toy with you. Don't give him the satisfaction. Sure, you might die, but you're going to die anyway.
Make him take your life.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, if it's this thought out, there's an end to this scheme. Right.
So exactly.
I understand you're trying to survive and everything, but man, if you have to know, well, I had this one coming.
Yeah. So she crawls into this thing and she's like, oh, I can't stand up. It's almost as if it's the size of a coffin and it slides down. Another compartment opens. Matheson throws in William Atherton and all of the money and seals it up. Next thing you know, this thing is on the back of his truck. He lights this house on fire.
But you're missing a very important point, and that's before he even tosses Atherton's body in there.
Oh, yeah.
He comes up to a nice... He's got, like, nice slots in the coffin. He just comes over and he's like, why'd you have to kill our baby? Why did you have to take my baby away? This is why this is happening. You took my baby away.
A lot of great Tim Matheson's, like, whisper lines, and it's like, honey, I'm home.
Yeah.
A lot of BS like that.
I think, like, that's his idea of playing a psychopath is just whispering things. Like, that's his psycho mode, you know?
Yeah.
So she's, like, freaking out, like, holy shit, like, it's him, blah, blah, blah. Atherton falls in, money falls in, seals up. On the back of the truck they go. Sheriff shows up. The house is ablaze.
Mm-hmm. Two cans of gasoline.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you do it right,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, not messing around. See, Tim Matheson knows how to use his whole ass when he's trying to get a job done.
Yeah.
Not this half-ass murdering people with poison.
That mansion's burning at the edge of town. I'm going to put an APB on one at Ra's al Ghul.
He's known for doing it. He's done it many times before.
There's only one man I know burned down a mansion like that. I'll guess two people, actually. Ra's al Ghul and the Union Army.
I want to put an APB on one Ulysses S. Grant.
So
they might have been in cahoots.
Cut to the next day. The fire department's like, nobody's in here. Not one corpse. We looked all over the place. Not man, woman, or dog. There's nothing in here. And the sheriff's like, huh. I have had my suspicions. Drives to the graveyard. Tim Matheson has used his own grave to put this coffin in. Jennifer Jason Leigh and all. And, you know, and he's just finally patting down the last of the loose dirt. And he's got his back to the sheriff. And the sheriff's like, it's a real, like, hey, buddy, that's my friend's grave. Better get away from it. And he's like, Yeah, I knew him too, or something like that.
Oh, like you don't know who exactly who it is.
Well, no, I mean, they're doing this horse shit like, I'm going to let you get away, you know, but I don't approve what you did. But we're such good fishing buddies. I'm going to let you get away with this.
Ah, couple murders. It's on the house.
What's a couple murders between friends?
It's so ridiculous.
And he's like, you know, never come back to this. If I were you, or if I were him, I'd never come back to this town again or whatever.
Or how about... dig him up. You put a good scare on her, buddy. It's all right. You know, because she's obviously guilty. Work the law around it. Like, why, you're going to let this guy walk away and try to make it in this world without a social security number?
Also, though.
And no money, by the way, because he burnt all.
Right.
He not only was it the money that they got from selling the business, she emptied their accounts.
Yeah.
So it's all of their money.
He's has broke as a joke.
Nothing.
And. Here's the thing, bad police officer. There's a really good shot, which the final shot of the film confirms, that she's still alive. It is your job as an officer of the law to be like, holy shit, I have to dig this up. There's a person in there.
Don't this you is want, country justice.
Don't you want a single commendation?
Like in your storied career.
And I know it's mostly just beef stew and cores, but like, honestly, man.
He gets a better satisfaction out of letting people get away with murder.
Yeah, it's insane. He's like, well, everybody gets one. Final shot is we go back through the dirt and she's just screaming and William Atherton's dead next to her and there's money everywhere. Cut to black. End of Buried Alive. Bravo, Frank Darabont. Bravo.
Nice work.
Would anybody recommend Buried Alive?
Yes, I would. It's because it's you know, like we said before, it's kind of like a noir premise.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun. It's ridiculous. Honestly, I did not expect all the twists and turns it had.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of a good time watching it.
It's a big seize belief kind of thing. It's really crazy. I mean, it runs at a clip. 88 minutes. You're in and out.
You're in and out.
And you know, a lot. I think if Frank Darabont had just a little bit better of a budget, this would have been a genuinely good movie, possibly.
Yeah, totally. If this was on like a feature film budget, not a TV movie budget, I'd totally recommend this. It feels like an EC comic story, like a Tales from the Crypt thing, which I totally was liking it because of that. You know, it's crazy. I would also recommend everyone trying to find Buried Alive 2, starring and directed by Tim Matheson.
Which I haven't seen yet.
I haven't either, but my goodness.
I'm excited too.
I'm going to see maybe if it's in full on YouTube, as they say.
And if it might
even
be
if it's impartial, I honestly.
I'll watch it in nine parts. That's fine. Because you read the plot summary for that second one. The funny thing was I read the plot summary for the second one and I was like, wish I knew this existed. You know, wish someone called this one in, you know.
Yeah, it sounds a little
crazy. Oh, and Molly Ringwald.
What?
Molly Ringwald isn't, or not Molly Ringwald. What's her face? Other one.
Ally Sheedy.
Ally Sheedy.
Other one.
Well, everybody knows when you
the
say
the only
Molly
other woman in Hollywood.
But you know what? Screw you, Kevin. You knew exactly what I was talking about.
I did.
Son of a bitch. Thanks to JC for calling in requesting Buried Alive. And again, it's from 1990, directed by The Walking Dead and Shawshank Redemption's Frank Darabont. The Fogs, or not The Fogs.
The Mist.
The Mist, Frank Darabont.
That's high on
You know, he's done a lot of good stuff.
And the Majestic's Frank Darabont.
Oh, I kind of have a soft spot for that movie. The Jim Carrey flick?
Yeah, the Jim Carrey flick. And you know what? I have a soft spot for Green Mile.
There you go.
I kind of like it.
See? Ooh. So that concludes another Listener Request Month, everybody. Thank you so much for calling in. You have inspired, like we said, probably another 7 seasons worth of We Hate Movies with all of the suggestions that were coming in. If you want more info about WHM, check out our website, whmpodcast.com. Like our Facebook page, facebook.com/WeHateMovies. And follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast.
I just want to quickly mention that coming up on Blame It on Outer Space this week, we have... Sir Patrick Stewart.
I can't believe you locked that in, dude.
That's right.
What a get.
You know, he's been in town. He moved to Brooklyn.
He's now
been doing Broadway.
He's a New York hipster. It's crazy.
So blame it on outerspace.com on Wednesday. Patrick Stewart.
I mean, that's like, it's show history, dude.
It's unbelievable.
Bravo.
Big pat on the back for that one, buddy.
Yeah.
right into the We Hate Movies mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever it is you get it, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher or wherever that may be. Rate and review. It doesn't take you that long, but it does a whole lot for us, so we would appreciate it.
And our egos, too.
Oh, and the egos.
Yeah, I mean, it really does help out.
Skyrocket. Also, you know, the holidays are coming up, man. Better check out our merch store, whmpodcast.spreadshirt.com. Got a new Probably Secundus t-shirt up there. Mm-hmm. Little Muldoon's Bar t-shirt.
It's the perfect gift for the weirdo in your family.
Exactly. Man. There's always like the aunt and uncle that gives you the goofy t-shirts and like fake teeth and shit nobody wants.
Derelicts. Well,
throw it back in their face this holiday season. whmpodcast.spreadshirt.com. Chris Cabin, hint for next week's episode.
Murals.
Murals. Ooh, getting a little arty next week on the show. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.